Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall down from the sky, and the powers of the universe will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with a great army and with glory. Then he will send his angels and gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. From the fig tree learn a parable. When its branches become tender and bring forth leaves, you will know that summer is coming. So even you, when you see all these things happen, understand that it is near the door. Truly I say to you that this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning the day and that hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, except the Father. Look out, be alert, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is just like a man who went on a journey, and he left his house, and he gave authority to his servants, and to each man his work, and he commanded the porter to keep awake. Be alert, therefore, for you do not know when the owner of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crow, or in the morning. He might come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all of you, be alert. Amen. And that's the gospel reading for today. Now, of course, in celebrating the coming of Messiah, these were the words of Messiah. His birth had already been accomplished 33 years earlier. Jesus was born, and now he's giving his church, he's giving his followers the things to look out for that will indicate his second coming. And that second coming is something that was anticipated throughout the first century Christians just knew that Jesus was going to come at any moment. They just knew that. And then as things got further and further away from the ascension of Jesus into heaven, you know, then they started, what is this? Why is this happening like this? And Paul had to step in and say, no, it's okay. It's all right. Some of our brothers and sisters in the Christ have already passed away, but that is okay because when Jesus does come back, the dead in Christ shall raise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be in the with our Lord in the clouds. And so there were in Thessalonians, I tell you what, some people just got to stir the pot. Amen. Have you ever been in a church where there was always just a low boil going on because somebody's there just stirring the pot? All right? And that's what was happening in the church at Thessalonica, in that there some people were saying, well, you know, we've been waiting for Jesus to come, and now several of our brothers and or sisters in Christ have died. And therefore, they don't get to go when Jesus comes back for us. They missed it because they died. Where did they hear that? It was just something they made up themselves. And rather than consider that, well, you know, when you start saying that kind of stuff, you're going to hurt a lot of people's feelings and maybe even damage their relationship with Jesus. But no, that didn't stop them. We're going to stir the pot. And Paul had to respond. He had to write and say, no, don't worry about the ones that have passed away. As a matter of fact, they're the ones who will rise first when Jesus comes back. All right? So not to worry. God hasn't forgotten them. They'll not be left behind. And the church has been waiting for the second return of Jesus for 2,000 years now. Almost 2,000 years. And it hasn't come. And the naysayers will say, well, it's been almost 2,000 years. And he hasn't come yet. What do you have to say about that? And my response is, well, then it's 2,000 years closer to his second return than it was when he first uttered that prophecy. All right? So God isn't lax concerning the way that some people call, you know, count laxness or laziness or whatever. The longer that Jesus waits in his return, the more opportunity the church has to get more people saved. All right? And so because God didn't come in the 1800s, we all get to go to heaven. Amen? If he would have come in the 1800s, then we wouldn't be here today. Our lives would be meaningless, would be empty. All right, but because he has been waiting, each one of us here have had the privilege of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and being part of the church, the family of God. Amen? So this is a good thing that he's waited. And it should motivate us to try to let our light so shine even brighter so that more and more people will come into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? All right, but I wanted us to look at something here. Jesus is saying that there's going to be signs of my coming. And in Psalm 19:1, the Bible says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. And so even though astrology is specifically forbidden in the Old Testament, all right, we're not to try to find out the future by, you know, watching the stars or whatever, God does say that the very heavens declare that God is doing something. All right? And as a matter of fact, Paul writes in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, the universe around us, so that they are without excuse. In other words, the plan of God has been revealed in all of nature. The beauty and the power of God is revealed through all of nature, so that people who don't accept Jesus because they say, well, I just never knew, God says, no, you're without excuse. No excuse for you. The plan and the love of God are revealed all around us. All right? Now, we're talking about the first coming of Jesus, because that's what Advent is all about. So, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Okay? And so we've all read this, what, 50, 60, 70, 800 times, each one of us throughout our lifetime. We read it at every Christmas. All right? We've all read this. And so I was studying this the other day, and it's interesting because it said that the Magi, they came from the east. Okay? And so through a little bit of work, we have found out that they came from Persia or Iran. All right? And so they came from the east. But we've always been told that the natal star was above the place where Jesus was born. But the Magi say, we have seen his star in the east for you. They came from the east, so here's Jerusalem, here's Persia, and so they came from the east to Jerusalem, but where did they see his star? If it was above Jerusalem, they would have seen his star in the west. But they say, we saw his star in the east. Okay? So, they weren't following his star, but they knew from what they were seeing that a king was being born. Alright, so what did they see? Now, astronomers, which is a legitimate science, have tracked all the movements of the planets and the stars and everything, and because they know exactly how fast they move and what their orbit is and everything, they're able to reverse everything and go back thousands of years in history. And what they have found, this is kind of interesting, that on the morning of August the 12th, 3 B.C., which, by the way, Jesus was born before Jesus was born. He wasn't born 0 A.D. Okay, he was actually born either 3 or 4 B.C. Don't try to figure it out. All right. So that on August 12th in 3 B.C., Jupiter and Venus would have set just 1/10 of a degree apart in the dawn sky. That's 1/5 the diameter of the full moon. So when they looked to the east, they would have seen a star that was 1/5 the size of the moon. Okay? We're talking a serious astrological phenomenon. All right? And that's 1/5 the diameter of the full moon. And that wasn't the end of the show either. Venus and Jupiter continued their dance over most of the next year before finally appearing to merge into a single star in June of the following year. And so what happened was, as the Magi, and we're going to get into what does Magi stand for? We're going to show you in just a second. It's actually an Arabic word, okay? But the Magi, they saw this phenomenon in the east. Well, for you, in the east, all right? But remember, Israel's over here. But because, well, let me read this. In Arabic, Magus is the term for Zoroastrians. That's a religion. The three wise men, or Magi, were followers of the prophet Zoroaster in Persia, Iran, who taught, this is what they were taught, monotheism, a dualistic cosmology of good and evil, which is what Christianity and Judaism is, and the ultimately good would defeat evil, which is what our Bible teaches, right? Okay, although not as old as Judaism, Zoroastrians followed many of the same beliefs as the Jews and would have been aware of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Messiah. So this is, there's still Zoroastrianism today. As a matter of fact, there's some in Pakistan. There's still some in Iran, and then most of them are here in the United States, because I guess some people, they'll believe anything except the truth. But anyhow, that's what these people had, a religion that was very similar to Judaism. Judaism was older, and so Zoroaster, the guy's name who started it, probably took a lot of his theology from the Jews. All right, and so they were very familiar with the prophecies about Messiah. And so here's these guys sitting in Persia, in Iran, and they see this phenomenon. It happens once every 800 years. It actually happened in 2020. It was in the western sky in 2020. So it was evening, at dusk, when Jesus was born, it was in the eastern sky. Again, as you're looking out there, we're probably seeing something, you know, that big on the horizon. Would have been just, you couldn't have missed it. You would have woke up in the morning and say, oh, end of the world. You know, I mean, that's something that is not going to escape your gaze and get you thinking about what's really happening. And so these guys looked, they knew that something was happening. Their religion didn't say anything about it, but they were very familiar with the Jewish religion, and they knew about our prophets in the Old Testament by this time, by, you know, 3 BC. And so they knew about the promise of Messiah, the king who would come and sit on David's throne. That's why they showed up in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, because the king would be, where else is the king going to be? In the capital of Israel. And so it's interesting that God used all of this to to coincide with the birth of Jesus. Now, something that's interesting is that later on, when the wise men, after they met with Herod and they were told to go to Bethlehem, it says that the star, which means a star that was very similar, led them. So now we have a supernatural event, because the Bible says that the star stayed above the place where Jesus was. Okay? And so the natal star that got them on their journey, and probably would have taken them weeks, if not months, to make the journey to Israel, that was the thing that got them thinking. They said, oh, this has got to be the birth of Messiah. We've got to go and pay our respects, because this is obviously a big thing. But once they got there, and they were dismissed by Herod to go to find Jesus, and of course, Herod consulted with his consultants. I guess that's what you do with consultants, is you consult with them. And they said, yes, the prophecy is that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And so the Magi, remember we said Magi is the Arabic word that means a follower of Zoroastrianism. Okay? You ever hear that before? Okay, pretty interesting what happens when you really start searching things out in the Bible. How can this happen? And so then they said there was a star that it was very, very similar to this star, but this one stopped and stayed above the house where they were. Because we know that they arrived 2 years after Jesus was born. Okay? And so Jesus already a toddler, and Mary and Joseph had found themselves a house in Bethlehem to live in, and yet the star led them to that house. I mean, it would have been very difficult to find, out of all the two-year-olds, you know, that could have been there, it was very difficult to find that one. And so here's the star. I believe that was the finger of God. There's no way to explain it, because a star does not sit perfectly still over a specific house for an extended period of time, and that star is just so special amongst all the other stars that it sticks out like a red thumb. All right? So this, in my mind, is a miracle. God saying, hey, over here. It's right there. Okay, this is where you want to be. And so they got there, and sure enough, they found the baby, the toddler, Jesus, Mary, Jesus, and they paid their respects with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each one representing the three aspects of Jesus' life. Gold you give to a king. Frankincense is something that you offer up to God, represents the prayers of God's people, and myrrh is something that is used in processing a body for burial. And so they recognize something that nobody else recognized, that yes, he was Messiah, but he was also going to die. Or maybe they didn't realize that, but under the inspiration of God, that's what they were led to give him. Anyway, myrrh is a very valuable spice, so it would have been something they could have given him. So all of this was what God did when he sent Jesus to the earth the first time. There were signs in the sky. The three magi, and I don't know if they knew each other before they left. I'm sure on the journey over they got to know each other, you know, pretty well. But they knew this is something that hasn't happened before. Not in recorded history have we seen this star, one-fifth the size of the moon, on the horizon. My goodness, something is happening. And with all of their study and all of their research, they could say, well, there's nothing in our religion that tells us what might be happening, but we know about the religion of the Jews, and they're saying that a Messiah is going to be born. All right? We'd better get over there and pay our respects. And so God did all of this at the first coming of his son Jesus. Now, in the passage of the gospel that we read today, Jesus is telling his disciples about the second time he's going to come. And he said, just like the first time, we're going to have the signs that will tell you what it is. So, let me see here. He says, from the fig tree, learn a parable. When its branches become tender and bring forth leaves, you know that summer is coming. Even so, when you see these things happen, understand that it is near the door. And so he had talking about the stars falling from the sky, the sun is dark and the moon will not give her light, and there's suffering and all that good stuff. And Jesus is saying, you look for these because this is telling you that it's about to happen. Now we know that Israel came into being once again when? 1948. And Jesus says here that this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Now, people have gotten hung up on the length of a generation. But basically, don't worry about the numbers. If you were alive in 1948, it says that generation will not pass away until that happens. All right? Well, 1948 was how long ago? 60 years ago? Oh, 70-some years ago, a long time ago, before I was born, 4 years before I was born. I'm 71, so that would be 60, no, even later. Right, okay, 64, something like that. So anyhow, if you were alive then, it says that generation, everyone who was alive then, will not pass away until these things come to pass. What does that mean? That his coming is soon. Jesus is coming soon. All right? He could not have come before 1948. From 70 AD, where Jerusalem, where Israel ceased to exist. And God had given that land. Israel has always been reserved for God's children, the Jews. But geopolitically, Israel ceased to exist in 70 AD because Rome came in and wiped everybody out. And so from 70 AD down to 1948, this prophecy could have not been fulfilled because Israel didn't exist. Are you following me? But now, since 1948, Israel has existed. And Jesus is saying, if you are alive to see that happen in 1948, then this generation shall not pass away until it's completed, that the Son of Man shows up. Amen? And so we are given the general ideas, just like the first time he caused that special effect to happen in the east, that caused these three magi to start thinking and researching and figuring out, oh, Jesus, the Messiah, is being born. And so they responded. In the same way, Jesus saying, when you see these things happening, be ready. Be ready. Amen? And then he tells us, you know, no man knows the hour. All right? Only the Father, and don't ask me to explain the Trinity, how the Father knows, but the Holy Spirit and the Son don't, because they're all God and whatever. But Jesus said, trust me, I don't even know. Only the Father. And all that has to do is it goes back to the whole idea of the bride and the groom. And so it's only when the groom has prepared the new dwelling place for the bride, and the Father looks at the work that his Son has done and says, yes, this is good enough. You've prepared a nice place for your bride. Go get her. All right? And the same thing is going to happen as Jesus is building the church, and that's what we're doing now. And while we're doing this, he's preparing, the bridegroom is preparing a place in heaven for us. We are the bride of Christ. Paul reveals to us, we're known as the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. But it's only when the Father says, this is complete, it is now ready to be inhabited by your bride, now go and get her. And who is it that shows up to come and get the bride? It's Jesus, the bridegroom. He's the one that shows up with the armies of heaven. And he sends his angels up to collect us all up from all over the world to take us home with him. Amen? All right, so when is this going to happen? I don't know. All right, if we wait too much longer than everybody who was alive in 1948, they're going to die off, and then God's word won't be true. And that can never happen. Therefore, if God's word has to be true, then that means that the time is imminent. Isn't it? Isn't it? And so, what is our response? And I know that people are all caught up in eschatology, the doctrine of future events, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen, all this stuff is going to happen, and what are we going to do? And let me just tell you, like I always have before, the last two words of Jesus that he says here, and what I say to you, I say to all of you, be alert. That's our responsibility. Be ready. We don't know when he's coming back, and you don't want to be caught, not being prepared for his coming. So be ready. Well, is he coming back in a pre-millennial dispensation, or is there going to be, he's going to come back before we have, this time of trouble, tribulation, is it a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation? It doesn't matter. Be alert. Be ready. That's all that matters. Okay? All of these things about, I believe that this is going to happen, I believe that's going to happen, it really doesn't matter because only the Father knows when it's going to happen. You can have your best guess at it, and you'll probably guess wrong. The only thing that Jesus says is, be ready. Okay? Don't put off till tomorrow, which you know you need to do today. If there is somebody in your family, in your past, that you need to call and get things right with them, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. If there is a loved one, a family member, whatever, that just needs to be here one more time, the good news of Jesus. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Do it now. Be ready. You be ready. And you do your best to let those loved ones around you be ready. And so let them see by your good life that you take the second coming of Jesus very serious. And maybe the way that you look at the soon coming of Jesus is going to affect the way that they decide to live their lives. Amen? Because Jesus only gives this one word of advice. Be ready. Be ready. Let me ask you, since today kind of qualifies as that last generation has not passed away yet, okay, since there are a bunch of people here that are part of that final generation, the final countdown, all right, what if he were to come today? We would go. All right? That's right. But then also, any opportunity that we would have had to impact another life would be gone. And so, today could be the day. I might not have to buy any Christmas presents. Carrie said, "Nah, you're not getting out of it that easy." All right? It very well could be this year yet. It could be tomorrow. It could be next spring. I'm talking about going to India in the last part of January. I might be in heaven. We all might be in heaven the last part of January. But it's up to us to be alert, to be ready. Amen? And just know that what God does is always going to be His perfect will. And so if things don't play out the way that we've been taught in the church that we went to before or whatever, that's okay. Because God never messes up. His way is always the right way. And if it just doesn't happen to be the way that we expected it, then that's okay because we're still ready whichever way He decides to do. If He's going to do it this week, next month is next year. Yeah, right. So, be ready. Be ready. Paul says, arguing about times and seasons is a waste of time. Don't argue about such things. And I find a lot of churches arguing about, no, this is going to happen this way and that's going to happen that way. It really doesn't make any difference what your theology is, because you just need to know that it's when God says go, Jesus goes. And that's right. And so when Jesus goes to get His bride, it's just up to us to be ready. Amen? Be alert, our bridegroom. I mean, Joy's daughter Amy and her son have been building a house for how long now? Amy and Mark, yes. How long have they been doing it? 6 months? Longer? Okay, a year. All right. And I guess from what I hear, it's a beautiful house. All right. And so it's a beautiful house, but it only took Mark a year to build it because he's been doing most all the work on it. Jesus has been working on our house for 2,000 years. I can only imagine. That is going to be, I have not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who believe. Amen? We cannot even begin to imagine what our home in glory looks like. But as soon as it's ready, then the Father looks at it, it's ready, Son, go get your bride. And I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready. Just be alert. Be ready, like Chuck said, just be ready. Be alert. Be ready. Because Jesus is coming. And it's sooner now than it's ever been. Amen. And so, don't get caught up in vain disputations, as Paul says. We're not going to get caught up in that stuff. All we know is it's soon. Amen. Yes, Terry. Amen.
And I want that for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord.
And we have to be Amen. Ready to be in His presence.
That's right. So, so we need to be ready. Because we're talking about the second coming of Jesus, but that call from God could come for any one of us individually at any time. Amen? How many people are up on our little book, Tree of Life over there, that they were with us one Sunday, and then the next Sunday, they were with Jesus? That call could come at any time. God's suggestion is still the same. Be alert. Be ready. Yes, ma'am.
Could I share something that had happened?
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but sooner than later, I just happened to wake up, wide awake in the night. I looked down, and since he was gone, I moved over to the side of the bed and took him close to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wouldn't have known that that was not my side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up wide awake, and I looked down at the corner of my bed, he stood there, so help me God, and he had the biggest grin on his face.
Amen.
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 And that brought me a lot of comfort and helped me get over. Of course, I'll never be able to love. That don't happen.
That's right.
He was my one and only. But that brought me such peace.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked the Lord in prayer, Lord, if there's any way that I could experience contact with him. I know there is a place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Amen.
I felt like I had been there.
Mm-hmm. And,
Pastor,
yes.
You're saying have your house in order, right?
Yeah.
Have your house in order, and
W-N-N-10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be ready. You don't want Jesus showing up to pick you up as his bride, and the Bible says that the way that we are unfaithful to our God is if we are being adulterous with other things that have become our God.
Yeah.
Okay? And so if money or lust or whatever has become our God, pride is what we are embracing, then when Jesus comes back, how does he find us? He finds us in adultery. Okay? That's not the way you want your bridegroom.
Foolish virgin.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So anyhow, amen. Just be ready, folks. If God has put somebody on your heart, then you reach out to them. One thing that my mom and dad, especially my mama, taught me is that our God is big enough so that he can give you whatever you need.
Yeah.
All right? Whatever it takes to give you peace, whatever it takes to give you happiness, you joy, he can do that. Because one of my puppies had died. And I was just, one of these little guys. And will I ever see Tippy again? And Mama said, God, if that's what it takes to make you happy in heaven, God will make sure that, all right? And so, do all dogs go to heaven? I am not even going to get into that argument, okay? All right, but, yes, these things. If God says what she needs is this word of encouragement, then that's what he'll do. Nothing is impossible for him. The only thing that's impossible for God is to go against his own character. All right. So, let's start preparing our hearts for communion. And,